Hello, this is your Polycast for Thursday, February 15th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Governor Dayton pitches a bipartisan plan to combat opioid abuse and a new contender for the 8th District congressional seat. The group Wellstone Action says it's removed the late Senator Paul Wellstone's sons from its board of directors. Mark Zedeklik reports.
A written statement from Wellstone Action's board of directors said David and Mark Wellstone did not support the board's vision for the organization and that their actions created tension over the organization's emphasis on expanding inclusivity and equity. David Wellstone says Wellstone Action would not share financial audit information with him and his brother. Wellstone says he's concerned about how money donated to Wellstone Action is being spent.
We asked about the flow and why were our budgets off, way over budget on certain items and others. And so what happened? Where was that money spent? And we weren't able to get those answers.
Wellstone says he wants his family's name removed from the organization. He says attorney and prominent Democratic donor and fundraiser Sam Kaplan is representing him and his brother in the dispute. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A former DFL legislator and staffer for new Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey is getting into the race for Minnesota's 8th Congressional District. Tim Nelson has more.
Joe Radinovich has put up a campaign webpage and announced on Facebook and Twitter that he's joining the race to replace Rick Nolan. The DFL congressman announced last week he wouldn't be seeking a fourth term in the 8th District this year. Radinovich was elected in 2012 to represent Minnesota House District 10B, including Aiken and Crow Wing counties, and is a Crosby native. He lost a re-election bid in 2014 after voting in favor of the state's measure to legalize same-sex marriage. His district had voted nearly 2-1 in favor of a constitutional ban in 2012. Radinovich went on to manage Nolan's hard-fought re-election bid in 2016. He was also manager of Jacob Frey's successful bid for Minneapolis mayor. Radinovich was named chief of staff for Frey in November. Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A Rochester mayoral candidate has asked the authorities to investigate an online threat against Muslims. Regina Mustafa announced her candidacy earlier this month. She says a social media user going by the name Militia Movement posted the comment, "Execute all Muslims in America."
I mean, this was pretty alarming. And I just really wanted it to be known by local authorities that somebody went out of their way to post this comment on my page. And it seems like they really do have the means to accomplish what they want.
Mustafa runs a nonprofit interfaith organization in Rochester. She says she experienced a similar incident during a brief congressional campaign last fall. She suspended that campaign, though not because of the incident. Governor Mark Dayton and a group of state lawmakers have introduced a broad plan to tackle opioid overdoses, which killed hundreds of people in the state last year. The officials called out the pharmaceutical industry for creating the crisis and urged drug companies to support the legislative effort. John Collins has more.
Opioids are the family of drugs that include everything from illegal heroin to prescription painkillers like OxyContin. The governor proposed to spend $12 million next fiscal year for prevention, treatment, and law enforcement efforts that target the opioid epidemic. After that, funding would come from a fee paid by opioid manufacturers that would cover the cost. Lawmakers are calling it the Penny a Pill Opioid Stewardship Program. Governor Mark Dayton estimates that it would raise about $20 million a year if enacted.
It was opposed last year by the drug companies, whose products have caused this epidemic and continue to fuel its expansion. And those ongoing efforts should not be paid by Minnesota taxpayers, but rather by the people who created this problem.
The bill does have Republican supporters, like Representative Dave Baker of Willmar. Baker acknowledged that a fee on industry could be controversial to some in his caucus.
For this issue today, this is the best option for us to help fix this problem. Because I haven't seen anything when we've done a stewardship fee before in Minnesota on car batteries, electronics, rubber tires. But this is, people are dying.
The industry group, Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, employs five lobbyists at the state capitol, according to state records. Nick McGee, a spokesperson for the industry group, said in an emailed statement that the Penny a Pill bill ignores factors other than prescription painkillers that led to the opioid epidemic. He said the fee would unfairly penalize and ostracize vulnerable patients who rely on the medication. If the penny a pill measure passes, the money raised could pay for anti-opioid programs after the 2019 fiscal year. The legislation directs funding to areas ranging from prevention, emergency response, treatment, and law enforcement. One provision would cover $4 million in annual grants to American Indian communities in the state, which have been especially hard hit by overdose deaths. State Senator Chris Eaton of Brooklyn Center says funding to expand treatment options is especially urgent.
If you're an opioid addict and you decide that you want help, you need it now. Because the withdrawals are so awful, you will not stick to it. We need access. It needs to be easy, just as easy to get help as it is to get heroin or prescription pills.
Eden's daughter died of an opioid overdose in 2007. She says it's time for drug companies to help solve the problem.
Whether their intention was to addict the populace or not, that's what happened. Like many parents who've lost children to this, I'm pretty angry about that. And I don't see any reason why the taxpayers should have to pay to fix this.
The number of Minnesotans killed by opioid overdoses last year rose to 395. That's an increase of 18% over the year before. Lexi Reed Holtum lost her fiancé to an opioid overdose in 2011. She says the country is on a dangerous trajectory.
And in 2011, we started the Steve Rumler Hope Network. There were 15,000 opioid overdose deaths a year in our country. And now we are at 42,000.
U.S. Senator Tina Smith also announced today that she'll propose a similar bill that requires drug companies to pay for solutions to the opioid epidemic at the federal level. Covering politics, I'm John Collins, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.